Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, 6 minutes after 11, let's get into our deep dive for this morning. This week, we're focusing on hope and healing after loss, all right? A very difficult subject for anyone to deal with, but one that we all have in common. All of us have to experience this at some point in our lives. Now, they say time heals all wounds. I'm sure you've heard that. But what if the wound never closes? Some losses don't fade. They reshape you. And grief isn't a season for some. It becomes part of the weather of life. And yet, even here, God meets us, not with cliches, but with presence. And so today we face the hard truth. Some pain stays, but so does God. Let's talk about it. And we're joined on the line by Pastor Cliff Lizuchinyama, someone who is not familiar with grief. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, my moderator. Good morning to you and good morning to our listeners.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us. Looking forward to getting into this conversation, which is, I mean, it's a heavy conversation, but I'm looking forward to talking about how we can also find hope and healing after the difficulty, after the pain of loss. Now, Pastor, can healing coexist with sorrow that never fully leaves?
All right. Good question over there, my moderator. The direct answer there, dear listeners, is yes as well as no.
Okay.
So what are we saying here if we are to break down these two answers that mean almost one thing? So if it is yes, how does it coexist? Mm. You discover somebody lost their child, somebody lost their husband, then They appear to be all smiley when they are at church, all smiley at work. But then sooner or later, you realize they are not really the way they were before that particular loss. So at that point, if at all they show all the smiles and it appears as if, all is fine, all is well, it's not really that they have, their pain has left them. The pain is still there. But they are just trying by all means to accept it. That's where the no now comes in. Mm-hmm. To say, well, at times you will be able to undergo grief. And then you will just be at a point when you will not even be able to. You may feel now or look to be happy to others. But well, even in that happiness, that's the kind of happiness where people will see that, well, that doesn't look so genuine and so, you know, bright, then yeah. Those that know what you went through, they will realize, say, okay, no, this person is really still hurt about the loss of their father, their mother, and so on. So, yes, healing can coexist with sorrow. So sorrow is there, but we can be able to acknowledge. And this is why sometimes we stand to testify how the Lord has shown us his mercy. Not that we are happy, but because we accepted that loss.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's an interesting distinction to make. The acceptance does not necessarily mean the pain has gone away. I remember when I was much younger, some years ago, I was in university. My grandfather died. My father's father died. I think I was 2 years old. So I don't have any memory of him. And I was in my 20s, I think, when my dad started listening to the song called Dance With My Father. And I remember him listening to the song on repeat for hours and hours. We were on a long drive. And I remember looking at him and thinking, wow, because it was moving me. I was thinking about his dad. And this was like over 20 years after his father had passed away. Interesting. I didn't realize that this could still touch him in that way. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what does Scripture say about the God who collects every tear? Oh, I love that verse about how God collects every tear in Psalm 56, verse 8.
All right. Psalm 56, verse 8 brings us to a point when David realized that he's going through sorrow and he's going through pain. But then at the same time, the psalmist David realized that even through this pain that he's going through of losing valuable things in his life, talk about his children, talk about his dignity, talk about his servants not acting trustworthy to him. He realized that pain has surrounded him. But then when he looked up to the skies, this is why later on he also wrote to say, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, you know, from where does my help comes from. So he realized that there is a God who takes note of every tear. You know, there are some people that can shed tears, my moderator. They are crying. But then if you don't look at them, you will not realize that they are crying. But if you are looking down and then you see some drop of a tear there, then you look at their face, then you tell, come on, why are you crying? That's when you know that they are crying, right? Yeah. Because of the drop. So the Lord, we have a God who hears every drop of tear that touches the ground, that touches the ground. And so meaning, he is so particular with us. This is why this verse should encourage every listener there, should encourage you, my moderator, that the Lord takes all our pain and he is aware of whatever we go through. This is why nothing takes him by surprise. And what does he do? He comes and offer vengeance on our behalf because he is aware. He's not happy that we cry. This is why he says one day in Revelation 21, 1 through to verse 4, the Bible there says, and he shall wipe away every tear. So he takes note of all these tears. These are the tears that he shall wipe away.
Beautiful, beautiful. I also love the idea of God taking into account and just being so aware and deliberate about, you know, recording everything that has caused us pain. That just tells me that that's a God who cares about every single thing that we go through. Even the things that maybe the rest of, you know, maybe my loved ones or the people around me might not understand or might think by now you should be over this. God still takes tear into account. That's a beautiful thought. And speaking of moving on, why is it that we feel pressured to move on when some losses can actually change everything? They can change who we are.
All right. You see, the issue of moving on, of course, is part of life. But in moments of sorrow and the grief, moving on actually becomes triggered by emotion. When you lose a particular loved one and when you undergo a certain tragedy, sometimes where you live, when you look at that room where this grandmother used to sleep, where this uncle, your brother used to sleep, it just makes you get emotional over and over. So we can understand that moving on now, you get to a point where you just want to shift from that area. Why? Because you want to get rid of those memories and all the bad things, you know, surrounding your that particular place of tragedy. And at times also, not just that, you just don't want to wake up every day, you see the sun rising, and then you drive through the way where once you were with somebody, but now you're driving through that path. I think most of us get that pressure to say, I do not want to use this road. One day I was with somebody on the vehicle, and we were driving past some particular place where they just built a recent a mall there. And so as we were going, just before I took my turn, one of the person I was with in the vehicle said, would you mind us using the other route? So instead of the route where I wanted to use myself. So I obliged and I said, no, not a problem. I thought they want to get something, pull over something by the shop along the other street. But after we went past that, then that person told me, say, oh, you know what, Pastor, I do not want to use this route from the time I lost my dad. We had a crash just along this road where we were parked. And then somebody just came and ran into the vehicle and injured dad badly, taking him to the hospital. That is when he died. So I was a bit sorrowful and I realized, so that person, because of that reason, doesn't want to use that particular route. They have moved on to something else, and that's better for each one of us.
Sure. And see, now the thing is, for us as the community around someone who might have experienced grief, maybe because we are not in it. I don't know if it's a problem of empathy, but we want to see someone recover and move on. Is there a way that we can encourage them to heal without necessarily being insensitive and sort of pushing or forcing someone to get over it and move on? Because I think sometimes what happens is that someone might start to pretend like they're over it because they don't want to feel like a burden. but they're still broken inside.
Okay, how can we help someone to move on? Well, you see, most of the people that have undergone loss, especially, you know, of human life, we realize that the only time they'll fully move on and accept, you know, is when they feel there is some replacement of that thing which they lost. It may not be the same, but at least there will be that form of comfort.
Okay.
When we go to the Word of God, He assures us from the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, we read verse 1, 2, and 3. It reminds us that the Lord has redeemed us. The Lord knows us. He has called us by name, and we are His. Even though we pass through the water, He will be with us. Even though we pass through the fire, He will be with us. So, somebody who has passed through grief will only feel being comforted by somebody close to them when they realize that this person comforting them is actually attending to their needs, attending to their emotional, physical, and all other needs. Then that's the only point we will be able to offer solidarity and comfort to somebody. Besides that, just being with them, they will feel that, well, this loss is still with me and the world has just fallen upon me, and like that, it's difficult. But when they feel that, when we make them feel a certain replacement of what was lost, be it a friend, be it in university, be it wherever it is at work, when they feel, the bottom line is when they feel a replacement of what was lost, in one way or another, we will be able to make them feel that I think they can get over it.
Right, right. And then for those who are experiencing or who have experienced loss, how does one stop pretending like they're okay? Because, you know, like I said, you don't want to feel like you're burdening the next person. So sometimes we have this inclination to pretend like everything is fine, pretend like I'm fine, I'm okay. How do we stop pretending and actually start feeling honestly?
Okay. The only time one stops pretending is being themselves.
Okay.
And the only time you are yourself as a person who has lost grief is by allowing yourself first to mourn, to weep, to empty yourself. When you empty yourself, you see, most of us that have lost loved ones, like I, for one, just lost my daughter, which is about close to, it'll be 6 weeks this Saturday. I remember that day, that was a Saturday after I came from where I was speaking, I was able to contain the news. But then when I got home with my two other kids, each time I look at them, I just ensured I escaped from where they are, go to my closet and weep just there. And the following day was Sunday, day number two. For whatever reasons, my heart was just heavy. And I'm not someone who weeps anyhow. No, at least we try to be men, I think, you know. And so, but then it was, I think, if I remember, it was on that Sunday, or that was the 11th of May, I was just filled with emotions for about 2 hours straight. And so I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to, I just wanted to be alone and empty myself. So when I fully emptied myself, now, each time other people came, you know, to sympathize with me, some 3-4 hours later, I was okay. My eyes were dry. All was well. Why? I could no longer pretend, because at least I emptied myself. So we can only stop pretending, when we empty ourselves, and then get to that issue now of accepting the situation.
That's powerful. That is heavy.
Yeah.
If I'm understanding you correctly, you have a space where you can completely, if it's going to be a meltdown or whatever it is, you have safety with Jesus. You have safety with your God, where you can completely empty yourself of whatever is the sorrow that's filling you up, so that when you are now with the people who are leaning on you for strength, even though you're going through the same pain, but there are people leaning on you, you're able to be there for them without having to pretend, because you have already released everything that you
yeah.
able to release in the safety of the arms of Jesus.
Exactly.
Sure. And what does real comfort look like when words fall short? Sometimes we don't know what to say. Like in your experience, for example, there are no words that someone can say that can make sense. What does real comfort look like in such a situation?
Okay. Real comfort now during these moments where words cannot suffice is only presence and silence. That is now cardinal. When you have gone through something wrong, something, you know, sorrowful in life, somebody will come and say, okay, my condolences, no, may, you know, the Lord guard over, yeah. You know. But then real comfort is just noticing that this person who has offered their presence physically with you, and even if they are not saying anything, but they are acting like someone who's really showing that they are with you, they are sympathizing with you, they feel, and then they are also empathizing with you, meaning showing that what you have gone through, they are going through with you. Then when you realize that these people are really walking with you in your shoes, not just in your shoes, in your socks, meaning they are now close to you,
Yeah. Then
you will realize that, well, this is real comfort. That's why you realize sometimes you are there for somebody when they lost their father, their grandmother, but then that person you were there by their side, they will remind you about maybe 10 years later, and they will just say, you know what, you really comforted me. It's actually you who made me strong, and it's you who's made me to be up to here where I am. I've been pushing, I've been ensuring to get up. Why? Because of your presence there. But then when you were there with them, it's just your presence that was there.
Yeah.
You were silent, but you were acting more empathetic to them. And so acting like that, somebody will not forget, even after years, after 10, 20, 30, they will not forget.
Wow. So sometimes
that is real comfort.
The presence is just enough.
Oh yeah, just the presence.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming through, Pastor. We'll be continuing on with this conversation, trying to figure out how we can find hope and healing after loss. But for today, thank you so much for your time. God bless you. And we continue praying for you and your family.
Shalom, my moderator. God bless you too. And blessings to every listener out there.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.